Last Friday, I'd just gone to Kroger's for my grocery shopping, put all my stuff in the car, and as I was driving off the parking lot, I'm still in the parking lot, my back door of the car flings open. Obviously, I didn't shut it tight, and I realized probably after driving for about maybe 25, 30 feet that this is the case. So I stopped, and just where I stopped to get out, this car comes and stands and parks itself right next to me, and you would have thought this was a scene from Hollywood. This amazingly trendy, gorgeous young woman steps out of the car, and she comes to my car and she gives me this little booklet, and it says, "Whatever happened of patience?" And she says, "You know, this is a busy time, and so if we can just all take a little time to be patient, I think things will be so much better." And I'm looking at her, and what am I thinking? I'm thinking she's cute. Anyway, unlike Hollywood style, we said goodbye and we parted. Anyway, I came back here and I was telling my staff what happened, and they said, "Uh-oh, Father Satish is smitten." No, Father Satish always knows what he's doing. In any case, I came back home and I glanced through this little booklet. Whatever happened to patience? And there's a lot of good stuff here, including little articles like, "Why do we yawn?" What a great way to tell people about the good news. And then I realized, now I know why she was so well-dressed and so trendy, because that's how Jehovah Witnesses go about. And when I told her that I was a pastor at Immaculate, at least I thought her face dropped a little bit. But and maybe it was because I was Catholic, and she lived somewhere close by. Her name was Marissa. But her message is well taken. Here is somebody who's saying that, slow down, be centered, because if you are, life will just be a little easier. And so when I came back here, I really thanked her, and I thank God for slowing me down that day. Folks, we are entering the second week of Advent. And if you were here at Mass last week, remember I said, Scripture is leading us in three directions as far as preparing for Advent is concerned. First, I'd said, if you want to take Advent seriously, we cannot overlook Scripture and praying with Scripture. Secondly, I talked about leading a balanced and a just life. And thirdly, I'd said, because we are in this year of being church at home and home at church, I'd said, please, let's focus on spending time with the family in the midst of this crazy season. Now, today, I want to build on that theme. And I think Paul, in the second reading to the Philippians, provides us the themes that can take us forward from where we were last week. But before I do that, there's something very important to know about this reading. And the disadvantage of reading just an excerpt from a long letter is that we never understand the context within which it is written. So, for example, there's no way to know from today's reading that Paul is actually writing this letter from prison. Once we become aware of that fact, we wonder how Paul can talk about joy. How can he talk about confidence? And how can he talk about growing in love? Those are the three things I want to talk about. We would think he would be in despair and hopelessness and facing darkness, but heck no. Just like this gorgeous young woman in the parking lot, Paul, in the midst of his imprisonment, in the midst of every reason that he could have had for despair and lack of confidence, Paul urges his people. He says, please, be filled with joy, be confident that God can complete his work in you, and thirdly, he says, grow in love. So I'm suggesting that we understand those three things. First, joy. How can Paul say to the Philippians, pray always with joy? But this is Paul's life story, not just while in prison, but even before his imprisonment, Paul had been through many crises. And if you ever read the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, he lists out those things that brought about crisis in his life. For example, he says, 5 times he received the 40 lashes minus one. Can you believe that? 5 times he received the 39 lashes. 5 times. I would be dead with the very first one. 5 times. And then he talks about shipwrecks, nights at sea, starvation, cold, nakedness, beatings, and numerous other near-death situations. But that doesn't deter Paul. He goes on with zeal to preach the gospel that was entrusted to him. What am I saying? I'm saying that there was something that Paul was utterly convinced about. And once we understand what is it that is obsessing his mind, then we know the reason for his joy even in the midst of the prison. For Paul, he was completely, completely, completely convinced and overtaken by the death for the life, the death and the resurrection of Christ. He's completely, his life has just been blown over of how he understands the life, the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so for Paul, it was never about the obstacles that lay in the way. For Paul, it was never about the stress of daily living or anxiety. It was never about that. For Paul, it was about Christ and the good news that was entrusted to him. That's all that mattered to Paul. And as long as he could do that, even if he was in prison, he could talk about joy because he's getting to do what he wants to do. To preach the gospel of Christ, which has completely overtaken his life. In other words, the secret of Paul's joy is the centrality of Christ in his life. Listen, folks, for him it is about nothing else. The centrality of Christ. It's not even about himself. Christ is at the center of his life, and that's all that matters. So as we enter the second week of Advent, perhaps we are being invited to keep Christ at the very center. And maybe I was getting that reminder in the parking lot. As we run around this season, and as life becomes hectic this season, please, Paul is saying, do not lose sight of Christ. First thing. Secondly, confidence. From joy, Paul moves to confidence. Here is what he says. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ. So he's writing to the Philippians, sitting in prison, and he's telling them, please be confident. Confident, really? The people of the Philippians, or Philippi, should be able to look at Paul and say, gosh, I don't have confidence. Look what following the gospel has done to you. It has gotten you into prison. But Paul argues the opposite. He says, I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work in you will bring it to completion. So, what then should the Philippians feel confident about? And I think here's a secret. Paul is not asking the Philippians to look at his life. He's not asking them to look at him and what has happened to him. He's asking them to look at the Christ who's glorified in his life. That's a big difference. Don't look at me. Don't look at Father Satish. Look at the Christ who is glorified through him. That is what Paul is saying. If you have been overtaken by Christ, if Christ is at your center, then look at me. In my life, that Christ is glorified, and that should be your confidence. And the reason for the confidence that Paul offers is that Christ, by his incarnation, by his death, and by his resurrection, has transformed the meaning and purpose of life completely. If somebody dies, they die for Christ. If somebody lives, they live for Christ. That's why, just a few verses from today's reading, Paul would say to the Philippians, for me to live is gain. For me, to live is Christ, and death is gain. So whether he's alive or he's dead, he belongs to Christ. That is the confidence he's trying to give the Philippians. Christ, what he has begun in you, can bring it to completion in Jesus Christ. So as we prepare for the coming of Christ this Advent, folks, I think we too are being invited to be confident. About what? Christ came to us like a baby. He died for us and he rose. My confidence is that eternity itself is mine because of Christ. Thirdly, Paul talks about growing in love. This is what he says, that your love may increase, that your capacity for love may increase. More and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And my question is, how can somebody sitting in prison still talk about love? How is it possible that somebody innocent of any crime, the only crime that Paul committed was that he preached the gospel. He didn't do anything else. But he's in prison because he's preaching the gospel. How is it somebody who's jailed for their convictions can ask his readers to discern what is of value? And Paul gives this answer very quickly in the next chapter. Here's what Paul says. He says, Christ emptied himself. And during Advent season, this is so important for us to remember. Sometimes we get caught up in this very pious, cute image of Jesus, the little baby. Oh gosh, babies are so cute and we love babies, and we get caught up in this very false, pious kind of stuff about Christmas. But for Paul, by Jesus coming to us as a human being, he was emptying himself, as if giving up of something. Jesus became who he was not. He was God. But he becomes human. And Paul says he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And for Paul, Christ came to us because of love. He humbled himself because of love. He was obedient unto death because of love. And he died on the cross because of love. So when he's asking the Philippians to grow in love, you know what he's saying? Be of the same mind as that of Christ. Discern what is of value. What is of value? What will take us to eternity? To be the mind, to have the mind of Christ, to be like Christ. And I know that you and I fall short of this. We always do. But at least Paul is encouraging us, and during Advent, probably we can make an effort to fulfill the prayer that Paul is making, saying to us that you may increase in love. So three things, right? Joy that comes from knowing who Christ is, the confidence that he will bring to completion what God has begun in us through Christ, and thirdly, to grow in love. I think if you keep these three points in perspective and put them together with last week's three points, I think we have more meaningful ways to prepare for the coming of Christ. So let us pray that this bread and wine that is brought forward, we understand that Christ is once more emptying himself. Christ comes to us in bread and wine. He empties himself, becomes obedient to the Father. He humbles himself for our sake. May this Eucharist make us like Christ. The people of God said,